Welcome back to the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend and co-host Tyler Rowe, and today we are, I guess, kind of soft launching the 2026 fantasy football season with some way too early predictions for things that we think are going to happen this upcoming calendar year. There's something that's just very nice about the early parts of redraft season. We're past free agency. We're past the NFL draft. We have at least a relatively complete look at a lot of these depth charts. And now we're going to start figuring out the different things that we think are going to happen. So between the two of us, before we started recording, we collaborated, we put together a list of, you know, sort of like superlatives, you know, just certain things, you know, maybe guys that we think are going to bust relative to ADP, certain players that we perceive as sleepers. And we're just going to go over all of those names. It's going to be a fun show, not anything super crazy, but just fun. And, you know, that's really what fantasy football is supposed to be all about at the end of the day. But before we get into that, Tyler, how are you doing? Are you excited about the upcoming fantasy football season now that, hey, we're almost in June?
Thrilled, man. Things are good. We're close to June. Like I said on multiple shows here, man, it feels like it's here. The heat is on us. I'm doing ranks for just about everything. I'm in best ball drafts. I finished the rookie drafts. Redraft ranks are live up on the website. Always updating those. Ready to talk some ball here, Herms. Nothing too crazy to update on. Just excited that football is officially back. Whether you feel like it or not, it is.
Absolutely. And hey, yo, just to reiterate, check out those rankings and also all the articles that we come out with, all the fun stuff. It's over at www.ftnfantasy.com. It's a great website. Tons of great information on there. Check that out. But maybe wait until after this podcast is over. Wait until we get into some of our big, way too early predictions for the 2026 fantasy football season. And we are going to start with some superlatives that you had put together. What we are going to do first is talk about players who are currently being drafted inside the top 12, if they are quarterbacks or tight ends, or just inside the top 24, if it's running back or receiver, that we think are going to finish outside of that range for whatever reason. And also, just to be clear, we are looking at current underdog ADP. We're basing this off of best ball ADP because reliable redraft data is just not really around right now, but at least the best ball market gives us some sort of insight into what's happening now. So we're just going to run through, do all this kind of stuff, and I'm going to start with my first guy, the quarterback that I think is going to finish outside of the top 12 that is being drafted inside of it, and it actually ties in directly with my wide receiver that I think is going to finish outside of their top 24 range. It's a duo from the Chicago Bears. I think Caleb Williams carries some risk. Luther Burden carries some risk. And this is something that I wrote about in my most recent article for etnfantasy.com, talked about it last week, and just broke down the team situation. And it just boils down to this. The Bears are kind of, they don't have a lot of depth. If anything happens to any of those pass catchers, health-wise or tight end Colston Loveland, I just don't know what Caleb Williams is going to do. And as far as Luther Burden goes, for me, I just think that the end of the season was exciting. I think he did really well. It was definitely a genuine breakout. But when people look at like the yards per route run, people cite that all the time. He did not run a ton of routes compared to some of these full-time players that he's being compared to when we look at those statistical views. And also, Rome Odunze, still around. I'm not going to go super deep into that one, but I think people are just dismissing Odunze too much. So that would be kind of my answer for QB and receiver. I'm just a little bit nervous about the Chicago Bears. If you have any thoughts about that, go ahead. But also, you know, some of your names, if you want to start a quarterback, wherever you want to go with that.
I mean, Caleb Williams, I almost brought his name up. He was probably like my honorary mention for the quarterback that I would have taken for a lot of the reasons you outlined. Also, Luther Burden, I think, would have been a layup for me to take because he's somebody I have been very vocal about being out on at cost. But I will pick different players just to kind of spice things up so you're not hearing the same voices here. But I agree wholeheartedly, Herms. I think I legitimately picked Trevor Lawrence as the quarterback that I think is going to finish outside of the top 12 that's being drafted inside of it. Now, I certainly don't have him very much outside of it, right? So I have him ranked at quarterback 13, which is just outside. So maybe this is cheating a little bit. But I do really feel good about the ranks of the quarterbacks right now and where they're being taken on Underdog. And it's really hard for me to kind of find a player. But technically, I do believe Trevor Lawrence would finish outside. I think what it really comes down to is he's had a lot of years where he did not finish inside, right? He had a good season in 2022 and then kind of re-broke out here in 2025. For me, it's just the rushing that he saw last year was the reason why he was able to finish as a QB4 overall. And I'm just not as certain that that rushing is going to stay there. So it's a little nitpicky. You kind of have to be when you're looking at these 12 because I do feel good about him. But at the end of the day, he rushed for 9 touchdowns last season. The seasons before that, it was 3, 4, 5, and 2. Definitely think that he's going to regress to the mean here a little bit from the rushing department. Also had rushing attempts was a record. His rushing yards was a record. And I'm just, is there a world where that's just who he is now with the new offense that's installed there? Sure. I think that that could be the case. But I think for me to kind of like look through this list of guys who are being drafted in the top 12, Trevor Lawrence is a name that kind of pops out as like, hey, if he just doesn't rush like he did, I mean, even from like, he had a, you know, from my standpoint, it was a rushing career high, but also a passing career high. I certainly think he can keep that passing career high up with the offense that's been installed there, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to back up that rushing career high. So to me, he's more of like a high-end QB2. And, you know, the second name I would pick would be Caleb Williams, but I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence in this case.
It makes a lot of sense. Anytime somebody rushes for that many touchdowns and that's not the thing that they typically do, it's a glaring red flag. And also, just in terms of Lawrence specifically, I'm pretty sure I saw he got his hair cut. Not that this actually has anything to do with football or whatever, but vibes-wise, he rocked the long hair. So I'm a little bit worried that the karmic energy in the universe is at least slightly changed now that he doesn't have the mane going out of his helmet.
I think Herm's it was a fake. He had like a wig on and they cut his wig. I don't know if you saw that. But there was an update later on. Yeah. He's got the hair, man. So is he back in the top 12 for you now that you know that he has the mane?
I think that might be enough for me, you know, and if he is going to lose some touchdowns on the ground, maybe he can make it up through the air. He still has not thrown for 30 touchdowns in a season yet. Maybe 2026 could be it, but that's still a lot of speculation. But I get your reasoning. I'm with it 1,000%. The Jaguars are a pretty interesting team. But now we've got our quarterbacks. We also got my bonus receiver thrown in there, but we haven't talked about running backs. Tyler, why don't you go ahead and give me a running back that you think is going to finish outside?
So taking a look at the running back list, this wasn't necessarily an easy one for me to grab. As you know, as I started going down the list, a lot of these names really made sense for me, but I decided to kind of, you know, plant a little bit of a flag here. And it's I wouldn't say it's not even one that I'm projecting or one that I'm agreeing with. However, as I start to kind of think about things and I'm like, hey, who's like most likely to finish outside of it? It's got to be Travion Henderson for me with the Patriots, man. I love Travion Henderson. I think he is a great talent. I think he's borderline an elite talent, but I take a look at what they're doing there and the offense they have installed. And Ramondre Stevenson isn't going anywhere, man. I just look at the situation and I think Travion Henderson is a great long-term dynasty asset. But then you just kind of look at Travion Henderson, and even when Ramondre was injured, they still found other ways to get other running backs the ball. I don't think they have any intention on having Travion Henderson be a bell cow for them. Now, I think he's appropriately priced at RB21 and certainly could finish there. He has that home run breakaway speed. He doesn't need 20 carries a game to pay off for fantasy. But I do worry about the volume in which he will see. I do believe that Ramondre Stevenson will continue to out-touch him. And more importantly, Ramondre Stevenson is being utilized in the pass game more than Henderson, which is not what you would have expected. So I just think he's on the wrong side of a committee. And they're, you know, they're adding some bodies in terms of pass catchers. You know, the not-so-secret of A.J. Brown probably going to the Patriots here shortly. For me, and then Drake May is a good rusher, a scooter, as we call him. He can scoot. To me, I like Travion Henderson. He would need a Ramondre Stevenson injury, I think, pay off. He's a really sexy name. He's a really good player. I just worry that as much as we want Henderson to get more carries, he just simply is not going to.
I think that's fair. And also, I think that that's pretty well reflected in terms of the market as well. Because I think if you told a big Henderson believer this whole scenario, they'd be like, oh, what are you talking about? Oh, my gosh. But people are drafting Ramondre Stevenson at RB28. Like, the gap between them is not huge. Like, a lot of people are recognizing it. And it's certainly fair. Stevenson did a lot better last year than I think a lot of people were expecting. And he's a good player. You know, him going away, probably not just going to happen out of nowhere. I like that call. Let's see if you like the one that I've got. It's a little spicy, but just bear with me. I went ahead and picked Omarion Hampton being drafted at RB10. Now, I don't think he's going to be falling outside of the top 24. I fudged it a little bit. I'm thinking maybe he falls outside of the top 12. But a lot of that really just has to do with the fact that I low-key kind of think that they signed Keaton Mitchell to be annoying. Like, I really think that there is something there with that. If we remember, the Chargers general manager, Joe Ortiz, previously was the, you know, player personnel director, or whatever his fancy title was, with the Baltimore Ravens for years and years and years before he took the job in Los Angeles. He's the guy that signed Keaton Mitchell as a UDFA, got his career going, and they gave him, I think it was like 2 years and like not too far off from like $10 million. Like, it wasn't a small investment. We haven't seen Keaton Mitchell do a ton since he tore his ACL a couple of years ago, but he is explosive. He is a good change of pace. And I think, especially with Mike McDaniel coming in as offensive coordinator there, previously the head coach at the Miami Dolphins, he got a lot of juice out of a 5'8" running back who is extremely fast, named Devin Achane. Keaton Mitchell is a 5'8" running back who is very fast and carries a lot of that similar juice. So for me, it's kind of just like, I'm low-key betting on Keaton Mitchell, not necessarily hating on Omarion Hampton. It's just a scenario that I'm unsure of. So that's definitely my pick for that one. You got any thoughts about that? Let me know. But otherwise, I would love to hear about this receiver of yours that you have picked.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm barely with you. I think from my standpoint, what we could actually just end up seeing is a Chargers team that passes a little bit more. I've always been a little, I guess what I'm saying is I've always been a little scared to be drafting Omarion Hampton where he's going. It doesn't feel quite good to draft him where he goes. So I don't know if Keaton Mitchell's the reason why. I don't think it's a bad thing to bring up, but certainly with you overall, maybe not aligned on the reasons why. Wide receiver for me, I think this is an interesting one. I kind of thought about this. Garrett Wilson is a guy that I'm a little bit afraid of, and I think he is a top 12 talent in the NFL, and I will maintain that he is a top 12 talent in the NFL, and I feel pretty good about that. But I think, again, what the situation comes down to is just the other talent around him and the quarterback play. So he's primarily been a guy that absolutely crushes volume, but even when he had 147 targets his rookie season, finished wide receiver 21, 168 targets in 2023, finished wide receiver 26 in PPR. No. And 158 targets in 24, finished wide receiver 15. It was better, and then he was hurt last year. Listen, I love Garrett Wilson, but I think I just look around at the situation that he's in with the Jets, and they've added some pieces, but I think that doesn't really work in his favor. I still don't totally believe in this quarterback, in Geno Smith, and this offense overall. So for me, I just like he's had crazy volume and hasn't been able to really turn it into something. And then you look at the fact that they add Omar Cooper, they add Kenyon Sadiq, Breece Hall is still around. I don't believe in Geno Smith. He's just a really hard click. You know, I think he's priced appropriately at wide receiver 18. I truly do. But I just look at some of the other wide receivers around him, and I would have, Luther Burden would have been the one I named, but you beat me to the punch. So I wanted to pick something different here. And he was a guy that I kind of look at and I'm like, it just wouldn't surprise me. And it's nothing to do with him. And it has to do with just Geno, the offense, and them adding some pieces, right? If you can't get in the top 24 in PPR with 168 targets, and I don't think the offense has improved much since then, there could be less targets there. So it's just that the quality of those targets in New York are not high. They're not good. So Garrett Wilson's a guy that scares me a little bit.
Sometimes the answers are just that simple. You know, we've seen him get the ball a ton, and we still haven't seen it pop off in a significant major way. And keeping with that pretty, you know, simplistic reasoning, my tight end that I picked is George Kittle going as the tight end 9. If for no other reason than he popped his Achilles tendon less than 6 months ago. I just don't know where his health is going to be at until we get more information on that. I'm going to continue to be skeptical. It's not like he's being drafted ridiculously early in the grand scheme of things anyway. I mean, tight end 9 is still, you know, later on in drafts anyway, but like, bro, he popped his Achilles. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, man. I think it's fine. I can't believe he's going that high. I'm still kind of operating like he's not going to play that much. I think people are operating like he's going to be out there week one. Like, I looked at my ranking and I had Tongas, which is like their backup tight end that played like serious time and like did well when Kittle was out. I had him ranked in the top 20, and like that was pretty hot take. And I was like, I think he might play half the season. I guess I don't have enough read on the situation. I don't really know where things are at with Kittle. I certainly don't mind that call out because I'm not certain we're going to see Kittle out there week one. And he missed 4 weeks. It could be tough for him to get into the top 12. Mark Andrews was 12 for me, but like I kind of felt like that was cheating. Not gonna lie, because I felt like that was like a really easy case to make. So I wanted to keep it a little bit spicier in the case of you know, just having a more interesting show. I'm going Harold Fannin, man, in a sophomore slump season for the Cleveland Browns. Let's just start off with this. Everyone has Tyler Warren and everyone has Harold Fannin and everyone has, God, I'm blanking. Who's the other rookie?
Colson Loveland
in the top six. That would be wild if all three of these rookies finished in the top six. Like, let's just pause for a second and think about that. I don't really think that's going to happen. So I kind of look at it from a perspective and I'm like, who's at the most risk here? Now, I think Harold Fannin had a great rookie season, you know, 107 targets, 72 catches, 6 touchdowns. I think for me, it's a couple things that are the reasons why I'm out. One, probably going to have a new system, going to have a new quarterback, likely. Some of his play was being propped up by the fact that his quarterback was Dylan Gabriel, and he can't throw the ball deep, and he was just peppering Harold Fannin the whole time because that was the only guy that he could throw the ball to. I look at the additions that the Browns have made. As we've kind of like moved forward here for a while there, like Fannin was pretty much the only horse in town. Like, yeah, Njoku's gone, but they added Casey Concepcion, they added Denzel Boston. You know, Cedric Tillman's been able to play a little bit ball here and there. Like, he will be the starting tight end, but I just got questions about this offense. Things are going to look a little bit different. Nothing about last year is the same. They're adding some competition. It wouldn't shock me if he falls well below his ADP. Yeah, you know, I would probably say if I was a betting man, like tight end 10 range feels good. But for the sake of the show, he's the guy I'm picking to fall out of top 12.
I mean, and when it came to picking the guys that we have as, you know, just labeled busts, he was my pick for tight end because it's the same reason. It's the Browns, man. It's the Browns. Until the QB thing actually gets figured out at some point, if it ever gets figured out, I'm never going to be super confident in any pass catcher on that roster. So sure. Definitely a good call out. But as far as those busts go, I can just run through mine pretty quickly because the answers that I have for all of them are pretty short. The guys that I think are just going to straight up bust being picked super high for various reasons. Jalen Hurts going at QB5. I am a huge Jalen Hurts supporter. I don't take this as me just like taking a dump on the dude. I'm still going to draft him. I'm still going to take chances on him in 2026. But my only fear is just the fact that AJ Brown is probably going to leave. And for as much as people got mad at how bad the offensive coordinator situation was last year, the guy who is stepping in now, Sean Mannion, a former quarterback who has only been a coach for 2 years. He was an offensive assistant in Green Bay in 2024. He got promoted to being the quarterback's coach with the Packers last year, and then now he's just suddenly the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. I'm a little bit skeptical. It's kind of the same issue we've seen with Philly. Because of how good they are, their coordinators get plucked for different jobs all the time, and it's just one of those things that I'm just going to keep worrying about it. At least for running back, though, Ashton Jeantie, if only because I don't know if the Raiders got better enough. At wide receiver, I have Malik Nabers because he tore his ACL, and people don't come back from ACL tears quite as fast as I think some people perceive. I'm just a little bit worried that like the front part of the season is going to be a little slow. He may pay off toward the end of the year, but that's one of those cases where like that's not going to matter if you draft him super high. And you don't, because you're not going to make the playoffs if he struggles at the beginning. So like those, and, you know, as I said, Fannin, those are the guys that I just think are going to bust for simple reasons. If it happens, I mean, I hope not, but I would not be shocked.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I like it when I went through my list and then you went through like Caleb Williams was a name that popped up as a bust for me on the quarterback side. On the running back side, O'Murray and Hampton was one that came up when we've already kind of covered that. I thought about this long and hard from the wide receiver side and just kind of like looking where guys are kind of like being drafted. And, you know, I think one of the kind of bets that I thought about making that could be a little bit of a bust, you know, I think he's appropriately priced, but like Chris Olave is a name that kind of popped up to me. And like, I like Chris Olave. I like the Saints offense, but like truth be told, I just think that Jordan Tyson is him. And I think he could supplant him if things kind of go in the other direction here. I think ETN could add something to the ground game and they run the ball a bit more. I'm not yelling at anybody for drafting Chris Olave, but I do think that, you know, there's a little bit of, I guess, warning or pause that I have when it comes to, you know, drafting him. I haven't been taking him a ton. You know, we had some other seasons where he's kind of like a middling wide receiver two more than anything. Yeah. Like he was hurt in 2024, but, you know, wide receiver 16, wide receiver 25, we could see him return to that, I think. Another name that I kind of want to circle back on, again, appropriately priced like Olave and guy that I'm not necessarily running from, but, you know, Kyren Williams starting to scare me a little bit. If Blake Corum starts to get a little bit more run, I mean, volume's always kind of been his game. But and I'll probably continue to draft Kyren at cost, but, like, he's a guy that I kind of look at it and Blake Corum looked like a little bit better of a running back last year, man. Like, I can't get that out of my mind. And like, if they just want to kind of do it a 50-50 split, you know, a lot of the reason that Kyren's been able to do what he's been able to do consistently, because like, it's really, you'd be like, Tyler, like, you're absolutely crazy. Like, how could you sit here and like say that he's been a top 9 running back the last 3 years in a row? Well, that's because he scores crazy touchdowns, 10, 14, and 12. Like, what happens if some of those just end up going to Blake Corum? It's not tough for me to kind of dream up. And then I don't have another from the tight end. I would have stick with the Fannin thing here. You know, after like Tucker Kraft and Fannin at like, you know, that's 8, 9, 10 range, you know, Pitts, Kincaid, Ferguson, and I don't really care as much. So Fannin's like the only tight end I think I could really come up with like a bust case for that feels good right now.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I feel you. I feel you on a lot of those names and the fact that we have some overlap. Pretty good. We have cohesion here on the Crossing Routes podcast. And on the other side of our commercial break, segue, we did all the ones that are a little bit negative, if you want to put that kind of a spin on it. But we will come back with some fun awards, predicting positive things, things that could be kind of fun. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes podcast. Hey, everyone. Sia Terms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at Novig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. Better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the Novig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right. Unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to Novig.us or download the Novig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the Novig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for Novig, America's number one sports prediction market. Welcome back, ladies and germs. We are on the other side of our commercial break here on the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm still Herms. He's still Tyler O. And we are still making way too early 2026 fantasy football predictions. And I know we said we were going to make it positive on the other side, but some of the goofier ones that I came up with, there is one that is a little bit negative, but kind of worth thinking about, in my opinion, especially because quarterback changes are such a, you know, just seismic shift to offenses sometimes for fantasy purposes. And for me, the guy that I have picked as quarterback most likely to lose their starting gig by midseason is kind of like, it's a bit of a half answer, it's a bit of a non-answer, but only because I don't know who's going to win the week one job for the Atlanta Falcons between Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa. But whoever wins it is probably not going to keep it. I get why Atlanta would be interested in moving on from Kirk Cousins, getting out of that contract. Now he's with the Raiders doing whatever. It frees up some cash. Good for him. Gets him an opportunity to see the field. But like, bro, Penix, like, even when he has been healthy, he has been suboptimal. He has shown up in a handful of games and really popped off. But like, the amount of times that dude has tossed for under 200 yards in a game, it's kind of frustrating. And then it's these knee injuries, dude. Like, he had some stuff toward the end of last year that knocked him out. He had numerous ACL tears and all that stuff in college. Like, I'm worried if it's Penix. And then obviously if it's Tua, then we kind of already know the whole story with Tua. Those concussions, I worry about him. I hope that he is doing well. I root for him, but I don't really know if he has it to be an NFL quarterback anymore, just from like that kind of health standpoint. Like, he's a talented guy, good athlete, whatever, all that stuff. But at a certain point, the health stuff just kind of racks up. So it, for me, most likely to lose the job, whoever starts for the Atlanta Falcons. Do you have a similar one? Do you have a different one? Let me know.
Yeah, there was three quarterbacks that kind of came to mind here. So I'll give you all three, and then I'll tell you the one I picked. Jacoby Brissett, getting pushed from Carson Beck, was certainly up there for me. Cam Ward, a guy I've been pretty skeptical on for a bit here. Might not just work out. I'm not sold on him. I really am not. I know they put a lot of weapons around him, but I'm skeptical. But I ended up going with Aaron Rodgers, ooh, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. It's a bolder call because he just came back. He's back with his homie. He's coaching the team. But man, the dude just looks cooked. And he's just not. Here's my reasoning why. Is the Steelers have been incredible. No one knows it better than you, Herms, at just staying in QB purgatory, right? Mm-hmm. Never bad enough to get a good quarterback, but never good enough to like watch them on a Sunday thinking that this is a Super Bowl contender. You're just looking at a 500 team, and that's the reality of the situation. And I believe that is what Aaron Rodgers, at best, can deliver the Steelers in 2026 as a 500 record. Maybe an off chance of sneaking in some kind of wild card, but like, what kind of future is that? What kind of hope does that give a franchise? I think that he's obviously, his best days are behind him, but I think from what I've saw over the last year or two, like, he does not have it in the bag. I think he's just old, and it wouldn't surprise me to see them go to Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, Drew Aller, whoever decides to kind of be the backup quarterback. It would be a smart thing to do because then you could actually like tank and get a good pick for the 2027 draft. We know the Steelers are not going to do that. They ain't got it in them. But for me, Aaron Rodgers, man, I just can't see this guy going through a full 17 game season at his age and the way that he's been playing lately. Does he give the Steelers probably the best chance of winning today? Probably. But like, in the long run, the Steelers eventually got to look at him and be like, what are we doing here? Like, well, what do we think Aaron Rodgers is delivering us long term? Like, do we really think that he's giving us a chance at 26? No. I don't know, man. I don't understand the move. I don't understand the future. I'd much rather just roll in with a young quarterback and have a year and get a top five pick. I don't know. I don't know if you agree with me, Herms, but that's kind of where my mindset is at when thinking about the quarterback most likely to lose his job.
I would hate it if only because Mason Rudolph is just he's the bane of my existence. I don't enjoy watching that man play football. It makes me sad.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, it's horrible. But at the same time, you know, it might end up being the best thing because you're right. Like Aaron Rodgers is old. He was not particularly good last year. And I also think because like how much they invested in the defense, like signing Jamel Dean at corner, going out getting Jaquan Brisker at safety, like they've built a good secondary around what was already a pretty strong defensive interior. Like, I think that like this coaching staff is going to look at that defense and say, hey man, this is actually working pretty well, but that quarterback on the other side of the ball isn't. And like, the leash might be short, proverbially speaking. So I could definitely see the world in which that happens. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility for sure. But let's keep it with the quarterbacks and go into some sleepers, some guys who are just being drafted way outside of, you know, top 24 stuff that could sneak in and really surprise everybody. And for mine, it's a lame answer. It is Malik Willis being drafted at QB 22 for the simple reason that he is very fast. And if he runs, then he will get a lot of fantasy points from running. It is the Konami code. It is the cheat code. And if there's a guy that can run faster than Malik Willis on a football field that plays quarterback, his name is probably Lamar Jackson, and that's it. Like, he's remarkable. He's a good athlete. I don't know how good the Dolphins are going to be. I don't know how good his passing numbers are going to be, but I feel pretty confident that Malik Willis could feasibly rush his way into the top 12. If we look back at this season in like a year from now and say, man, Malik Willis put up like 800 rushing yards on the ground or something. Okay, maybe not that, but even 700, something like that. I don't think anybody would be that shocked. So that's my candidate for that one.
I love it, man. I was really big on Malik Willis when I found out he was likely going to be the starter there. You know, I don't love the pieces that they put around him at this point in time. So like for me, I've kind of like looked at the situation and maybe he's fell a little bit for me, but I think I don't hate the call. Tyler Shuck would be the name that I would like to kind of throw out there as a quarterback. So, I mean, like, he's already kind of done it in some ways. Like, he didn't start till week 9, but in week 9 to 17, he was the QB 11 in fantasy. And then after he got settled, week 12 to week 18, the QB 5, right? So the arrow's already been pointing up in a big way. Small sample size, but, you know, in my opinion, it's good to see him capable of it. They added Jordan Tyson, my favorite wide receiver in this class. Olave's back. They signed Travis Etienne. Kellen Moore's a great offensive mind. They move at a fast pace. The defense is going to be terrible. Shuck is this engine running at all. I think he is a great late-round quarterback and has a real shot to finish within the top 12.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whether or not you believe in Shuck, the weapons around him are just nuts. And like, it would be surprising to see him like completely implode. I'm not entirely sure what the ultimate ceiling is, but I'm not really as worried about the floor anymore. Because to your point, they've built it up around him so much. I can definitely see the world in which that happens. At the running back position, I had, you know, kind of like you a little bit before, like I narrowed it down to a handful. It was hard to pick just one. I'm going to give some honorable mentions. I think Kenneth Gainwell has a chance at just catching a ton of balls as the complement to Bucky Irving out of the Buccaneers backfield. They gave him a lot of money. I think people are still overlooking that. He's being drafted as the RB38. That should be a little bit higher. Cam Scadabo, just by virtue of the fact that like he did it and then he hurt his ankle. Like that wasn't really his fault. If he'd played the full year, we'd be talking about him completely differently. But the name that I think is just really popping out to me at running back is Bashal Tutin being drafted as the RB26 in current ADP. Best ball vibes. He's fast. He's an extremely good pass catcher and not a guy that we saw do it a ton last year. But again, Herms, oh my God, he's talking about the Senior Bowl again. Sorry. But Bashal Tutin is a guy I got to see do it like genuinely just his explosion at like as soon as the ball gets in his hands, his ability to just like quick pivot turn and just move upfield. it's very functional speed. It's super good. I have a good feeling about Bashal Sutton, especially because he has somebody like Chris Rodriguez, a bigger body to do more of the short area work, different things like that. Maybe that's a concern for the goal line. Maybe that's a concern for the red zone, but that's a bridge that we can cross when we get there. Bashal Sutton is a name that I am highly interested in at running back this year, just like I was, you know, this past summer when we were talking about that ahead of 2025. Who you got at running back for your possible big sleeper breakout guy?
Yeah, so you might get a kick out of this one, but going right back to the Steelers, well, Rico Dowdle.
Yes.
At running back 32. To me, I just look. Here's what I think is important here with when it comes to Rico Dowdle. He had some time reunited with Mike McCarthy in some ways. Like he was in Dallas at the same time he was there. So they have a little bit of a connection. And I like what I've seen out of him. It is a crazy late kind of jump in a guy's career where he's just not even usable for the first 4 years and then has two back-to-back RB2 years. I just think that there is a big opportunity there and there's some familiarity, and I've loved the way he ran. Straight up stole Chuba Hubbard's job. I don't think, he's just a guy that has the capability and the talent to be able to do it. So I'm not necessarily like, this isn't a Rico Dowdle as a top 12 running back thing. This is a Rico Dowdle is being drafted as an RB32, and I think he could finish as like the RB22 or the RB20 within the top 24. So maybe, maybe I'm not on it as much as I should be, but to me, he presents some good value later down. And I really think he's going to get the bulk carries there in Pittsburgh.
And yeah, I think he serves as a good complement to Jaylen Warren. And I'm kind of hoping that the presence of Rico Dowdle and, to your point, doing a little bit more of the groundwork frees up Warren to catch some more passes. It's always been one of his better skills that, he catches a ton of balls every year, but maybe not to the degree that he could. So I'm very interested to see how the backfield is going to shake out. Dowdle is probably going to be a pretty big part of it. I love that call. Then moving over to receiver, I talk about this one a lot, and just kind of the fact that I feel good about the Chargers in general. Their offensive line got hurt. Justin Herbert, until that happened, was super good. And now that Keenan Allen is just out of the picture, I think things are a little bit more consolidated, and I think that's going to pay off for Ladd McConkey. We saw him do it as a rookie. All of those things that I was talking about are hopefully going to be able to change in 2026 after it went wrong last year. And as long as that happens, I think McConkey is a good bet to make it back inside the top 12. I think especially with Mike McDaniel coming over and the entire offense that he ran in Miami just being really built around like smaller dudes that are very fast, that can just get open and just do a bunch of things in space and all that stuff. That's what Ladd McConkey does. I think he's a really good fit for the scheme. So I think we're going to see Ladd McConkey bounce back in a big way in 2026. And I'm sticking to it. I'm all here for it. Who you got at receiver though?
Yeah. So, I mean, Ladd McConkey was a name that I was also considering, was one of the top options for me. I was out on him at his price last year, but like now he's cheaper and I'm like, why would I be out on him this year? I went a little deeper again because it's more fun to just go a little bit deeper. Terry McLaurin is a guy that I'm very much in on in the 2026 season. Finished as a wide receiver 7 overall in 2024. Jaden Daniels is just the truth, man. I think this is just a bet on Jaden Daniels being healthy. And Terry McLaurin's healthy, I think he could easily be a top 12 wide receiver in this league. Yeah, he's getting up there in age, but 30-year-old wide receivers can finish in the top 12. We've seen it before. I mean, shoot, Devontae Adams is being picked outside the top 24. And while I think he certainly – I don't think he's got it in to be top 12 again, he proved that he's still got something in the tank in terms of especially being a red zone target. So I went a little deeper, went a little hotter, but really just wanted to make sure I shouted out Terry McLaurin as a guy that I think has it in him to be – low-end wide receiver 1 with the full healthy season of him and Jaden Daniels together. I still believe in this Commanders offense. They didn't add a ton in the draft to take much away from him. He could 10 targets a game is like certainly something that isn't too far out of the shade of possibility here. So I'm going to go a little deeper, go a little hotter, but Terry McLaurin is a guy I am in on.
It makes a lot of sense, man. I think there's a lot of value to be extracted from the Commanders offense, and that's why I very nearly not officially, but very nearly went with Chig Okonkwo as my sleeper tight end guy. Just because, like, if we're wrong about rookie Antonio Williams, the wide receiver out of Clemson, being the number one, the number two target in this offense behind McLaurin, I like Okonkwo. He flashed plenty when he was in Tennessee, but it's just, he was the victim of being a Tennessee Titan for a decent chunk of his career. So, like, that's, if that's his worst crime, I think he actually has a legit shot. He's been usable in multiple seasons as a streaming option. I think if a full-time opportunity arises in DC, he actually has a shot at being good. But my guy that I'm going with, and this one's a little tough because I know the Houston Texans spent a day two pick on a tight end, but, like, Dalton Schultz is really good. He's being drafted as the tight end 24 in ADP, and just, it comes down to this. He was the tight end 12 overall in PPR last year. He had 11.5 PPR points per game, and if he had just scored one more point, I'm not even talking anything crazy, just one more point. If he'd bumped that up to 12.5, he would have been the tight end 12 in points per game as well. He's good. He's just good. He's been a good tight end for a long time. I don't really know if that's going to change necessarily. I know that the Texans do have a lot of other guys that they could throw to, considering how many receivers they've drafted in the last handful of years. But I'm cool rocking with guys that have done it before, and I'm willing to take that chance on Schultz, especially because it's basically free.
Yeah, I mean, I cheat a little bit on mine, if I'm being honest, because I looked at different ADP and pulled them up. But I had Jake Ferguson as a guy that I'm a fan on this year, of, like, finishing as a top six tight end. I mean, first of all, like, in PPR, Jake Ferguson was able to do it last year. He was, you know, five in PPR. I mean, for me, I just look at the situation, like, yeah, Pickens and CeeDee Lamb are around him, but this is a high-flying offense that passes the ball a lot. He kind of trailed off towards the back half of the season. It's why he finished. But, like, I think everyone forgets that Ferguson, you know, through the first half of the year, he was a top 10 tight end from weeks two all the way through weeks eight. Like, it fell off at the end of the year. But, man, I look at what he's able to do, and I think there's a lot worse stabs to be taking later on in drafts of tight end than Jake Ferguson, as we know he's capable of it. And I believe in this Dallas Cowboys offense.
I mean, if Fergie is a dog, you know, for as much as I'm sitting here talking about how good Dalton Schultz is, the reason the Dallas Cowboys were so comfortable letting that man go to begin with is because they had Jake Ferguson. So, like, hey, always a good shout out for sure. Shout out Jake Ferguson. If you're listening, we appreciate you very, very much. Probably not, though. I don't know how many NFL players listen to things like this. Weird pivot. But now we are getting into our final two superlatives. Just real quickly to round out the show, some fun ones. This one is one that I am just, I love doing this. It's one of my favorite things to predict every year. It is the guy that we think is fetch. People want it to happen, but we just don't think it's going to happen. And it kind of ties back into what I was saying earlier about Jalen Hurts and just the overall kind of mystery of what's going to go on with the Eagles offense. To be clear, I do not think that DeVonta Smith is a bad football player. In fact, I think he is a very talented receiver. But my only issue is that he's being drafted as the wide receiver 13. That's just, it's a little high for me. Even when A.J. Brown leaves, Mekhi Lemon coming in, I think he's pretty phenomenal. It's just weird. You know, I don't know that A.J. Brown leaving necessarily just automatically vaults either Lemon or DeVonta Smith into being close to a wide receiver one in fantasy. So I'm just a little bit hung up there. If his price falls, I'll probably be more interested. But as it stands right now, I can't get there.
It's funny. I was thinking the same name there, Herms. I've been seeing him there, and I've not been able to click his name because that's just it. I hate the math of vacated targets, and they're not even really vacated anymore. And it's just because, you know, you lose a good player doesn't mean the next player kind of steps in. So love the call there, Herms. I don't have anything to add.
But as far as your fetch guy goes, you got a name you want to throw out there?
I mean, it's Luther Burden, man. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, man, but it's just not happening. If this is your first time listening, listen to what Herm said at the beginning of the show. I've gone off on plenty of tangents. Wide receiver 50 last season, played a third of his team snaps. Stop trying to make Luther Burden happen. It's not happening, folks. Roma Dunze is wide receiver 28. Just take Roma Dunze later. Honestly, he's a way better wide receiver. Just do it.
Yeah. that actually, no, that is a much better bargain. There you go. The official stance of the Crossing Ruts podcast. Just take Roma Dunze instead. And then the last one, just a fun one. I've dubbed it the Cordero Patterson Memorial Award for Random Veteran Breakout. And my guy, I talked about it in the last episode. I'm mostly just using this as a teaser to say, go back and listen to the last episode and why I like Nick Westbrook Akine. He's 29. It doesn't technically count as like an old guy, but hey, close enough. I think that he could be pretty interesting, and the reasons why were already recorded last week. Do you have a random veteran breakout that you want to get us out here on?
You know, so I think Terry McLaurin might actually kind of qualify. And he's not as old, but I think David Montgomery is a name that I want to throw out there. He's kind of an older guy. You know, him leaving Detroit, I think, didn't have to do with him being necessarily washed. Instead, it had to do with the Lions just realizing that they need to give Gibbs the ball more often, and Montgomery's got it in him to be more of a starter somewhere else. And I look at the room that he's sitting in with the Texans, and I don't think anyone's going to challenge him for it. And I think like a mid-range RB2, a high-end RB2 year is well within the range of outcomes for Montgomery. 28 years old, not necessarily an old man, but in running back years, many people would say that's past the age cliff, so I'm going to go with it.
Not fair. I mean, I don't know. As a 30-year-old man, I know how bad my knees are, so I can't even imagine somebody who, you know, gets tackled for a living is going to, you know, their body's probably not feeling too good. Even though I like Woody Marks, I do think it's a good call. David Montgomery, always been a very talented running back. Not really sure how I feel about how that backfield is going to be distributed, but that is one of the beauties of this being still the offseason, this still being the time that we can sit down and discuss these topics here on the Crossing Routes podcast. We will have plenty of time moving forward to dive way deeper into all of the things you need to get ready for upcoming redraft season. Be sure to check out all of the stuff that we are coming out with on ftnfantasy.com. I know that starting this week, I am going to be coming out with my first edition of the new Fantasy Face-Off series that I did last year. That's going to be very cool. I know you are in the midst of doing a lot of great work looking at some of the second-year players and just kind of building expectations for that. All very cool stuff. Please go check out that work, and please come back next week for another episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. But until next time, adios. Think about how far we come just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.